Everybody, it's a pleasure to be here. It's always an honour when I'm asked to do this, and especially on a lovely sunny day today. Although I am a little bit embarrassed now because I'm standing up here and I'm about to talk about Christian mothers, and I didn't actually know any of those answers, so I do apologise for that. But we're going to talk a little bit about Christian mothers, and I'm going to be utilising both Proverbs and Ephesians to help me out. I've written something, but then I have subsequently scribbled all over it. So I hope I am led by God and that I find my way. So thank you for that, Tom. I know last time I was up here at the carol service, that just happened and it was amazing. So I do pray for that again. I do feel in quite a good place, actually, to be preaching today, apart from the fact that it is Mother's Day and the sun's shining, which makes us all feel better. I do feel very, despite what's going on in the world, I'm feeling very encouraged at the moment. So I feel very open to receive whatever God has in store. And I think, I don't know, there's this misconception sometimes of Christians, well, they've got this, they walk with God all the time and they always know what to do and they always know the right things. And that certainly in my case is a misconception, because yes, I'll always have faith, that doesn't go away, but sometimes I walk closer to God. It sort of ebbs and flows a little bit, and sometimes I do go my own sweet way, which is when things sort of seem to unravel a little bit. And I think we all have that journey where sometimes we feel closer to God and other times we sort of just move along in the world and, you know, sort of don't forget to call on him, forget his grace that we've been singing about when the world and life gets in the way. So I'm really happy that at the moment I feel in a really good place. And I think last weekend was really helpful as well for me, because it was a real shame not to be here and to see Steve, because I always love his services. But we were at a baptism for a 19-year-old girl who has been a drama student of mine since she was 11, and her brother and some others were baptized, and it was just a wonderful blessing. And it was just amazing as well, because I wasn't actually aware she was a Christian, although now it makes a lot of sense. But I think it was like days after we had that amazing service here where Tom played a video about 18 to 24 year olds and the amount of them that are coming to faith, and it really is happening. And I think that that's encouraging, because we do talk about how the world is. And if you've got that faith, and I think young people are calling on this and trying to step away from social media and all the demands of life and the cost of everything, and thinking actually there is another way to live life. And I think that's really encouraging. Okay, so on to today. So I'm going to be looking a little bit about the role of a Christian mother in church. I've got a little bit of a disclaimer before I do this, because what I don't want is, I want everyone to go away feeling encouraged. I don't want anyone to feel discouraged by this. So lots of mothers are amazing. All our mothers are amazing. You know, I don't want anyone to sit here and think, oh, well, I didn't follow this. I didn't grow up a Christian and raise my children this way. I don't want anyone to sit here and say, well, my mother didn't raise me this way. Mothers are amazing, full stop. They just might not all have had the opportunity of church and faith. Every good mother does their best for their child. Mothers who haven't had this can be amazing mothers. Christian mothers can make mistakes. I'm a Christian mother, and I'm sure that my children will verify that I make plenty of mistakes. But what I want to do today is just talk a little bit about how the church sees mothers, and how Christian mothers, some of the steps that Christian mothers have been guided to take to help their children. Okay, so happy Mother's Day. Has anybody got any plans today? Anyone doing anything special? Well, that sounds like a good day. Excellent. Oh, that's apt then. Excellent. Anyone else? Got anyone else? Oh, fantastic. Oh, that'll be lovely. Excellent. Anyone else? All the mothers. Yes. No, but that's interesting, because we were having this conversation with Jean and saying, oh, yeah, well, we've got all three mothers. But then it's like, actually, isn't it a blessing that they're there? So that is amazing. Okay, so I'm going to start by reading you a short passage from Proverbs chapter 22. It's just 1-6, but I will read the whole thing for context, but it's the last two lines that are really relevant to what I want to talk about initially. So Proverbs chapter 22, 1-6. A good name is more desirable than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, which I'll come back to later. But those who would preserve their life, stay far from them. This is the important bit. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And that does resonate with me, because I was fortunate enough to have my mother taking me to Sunday school and praying with me every night. It was a little bit disjointed because my father was not in agreement, so I didn't have the perfect Christian upbringing, but I had that grounding. And I do feel like, yes, lots of people come to faith later, and that's amazing, and they're some of the best testimonies. But I think if you've had that grounding from when you're little, it does go a long way, and it's something that you sort of never question, even when things are going wrong, even in the time where you do sort of move away from it and take another path. It's always there in the background. It's like, and I, even when I wasn't being my best Christian self when I was a younger person, I think I was a bit hypocritical, but if I needed something, I prayed. Oh, I prayed, but I always knew that God was there, whether I was acknowledging it at that time or not. So it's a pleasure to be here always in this place that is a really special place. And we've had a lot of prayer with everything going on in the kitchen. And, you know, God bless Jean for getting up and tidying it, because I was here yesterday and I was said to Tom, we're not doing teas and coffees. It's not happening. So it was amazing to come in, and it was all like, it was just fantastic. So it's brilliant that all that's being done. We're going to unite our hearts in worship and open our minds to the wisdom of God. Obviously, we've been singing about grace, so we're thinking, as well as Christian mothers, a lot about God's grace in us. And it's a connection that's built on the pure foundation of love. It's unconditional and enduring, and that's God's love. It's never changing. Everything else is uncertain and changing in our lives and indeed in the wider world, but God's love doesn't change. And that is, there are similarities. It's a similar love that a mother has for her child. A love that reflects the very essence of God's love for us. And this is why I want to speak about mothers now in the spiritual sense a little bit. So Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." And this quote beautifully captures the essence of our discussion, which focuses on the role of mothers in shaping the spiritual lives of their children and through them the church. So our scripture from the book of Proverbs, it says, start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And this serves as a gentle reminder of the significant role that mothers play in guiding their children on the path that leads to God. Okay. It also reminds us that those who are given those spiritual foundations from an early age rarely turn their back on them, as I alluded to just now. Even if they have questions or seek other temptations from time to time, there is always that quiet knowledge in the background that God is there for them, something that they will have known and understood since they were old enough to speak, I guess, before they maybe walked, because it's just something there. If you're praying with a baby, babies take in everything. They know. They're sponges. It's like if you... if these sad cases where a child's been neglected or not looked after, but they're rescued very young, it still takes some time to get some of that development back, because they, if they haven't been held or talked to or stimulated or had eye contact, they're not going to have the same responses. And with that, I think if a baby has been prayed to and a young child, I think they understand it's just something, it's a knowledge that they've just had there. And as I said earlier, don't get me wrong, because I don't want to berate anybody else. I think it's amazing when people come to faith later in life as well. They're my favourite testimonies. When I hear somebody that hasn't had God and then suddenly something's turned them around and they've come to faith against all odds with no support from church or Christians, and they found it, it's purely through their relationship with God. These are some of the best testimonies you'll ever hear. But I just feel that for the purpose of this today, having it instilled from birth, it somehow just makes things that little easier for the person as they navigate life it's less challenging to come back to if you stray, because at the back of your mind, you've always known that God is there and he loves you. So you haven't got those, you don't have to sort of navigate, like changing your whole perception. It's there in the background. So together now, we'll just seek to understand the divine role of mothers in the church and in our lives. Okay, so we're just going to have a little prayer now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for gathering us today. We thank you for the gift of mothers who reflect your love and grace in our lives. And as we study your word, we pray for your guidance and wisdom. Please just open our minds and hearts, Lord, so we may just understand and appreciate the divine roles of mothers in shaping the church and in our lives. Please also bring peace to those who no longer have their mothers, and may they rejoice in reflecting on remembering them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's allow God's wisdom to just guide us. Let his love envelope us and his grace, that word again, empower us as we seek to understand and appreciate the divine role of mothers in our lives and in the church. So in the sacred scriptures, we find numerous instances where the role of a mother is highlighted. Pity I didn't know any of their names, but hey-ho. It's a role that's just not, it's not just about giving birth and raising children, but also we're looking now at the spiritual guidance and nurturing. And again, I think I must say now, obviously dads do this too, and grandparents and aunties and uncles, but I think, you know, when you go back to biblical times, they're looking at this as this was a lady's role, this was a mother's role. Bringing up the children was mainly to the mother, and in that, the spiritual side as well. So the church, being the body of Christ, recognises and appreciates this divine role of mothers. The church, in its wisdom, understands that mothers are usually, I'm going to say, not are they, but usually are the first teachers of faith to their children. From a young age, it's often the mother who introduces the child to the idea of a loving and caring God. And that did remind me of my mother, bless her now. She's 91, sorry. And she may not even remember this, but she sat with me every night and she'd gently pray with me and sing just lovely little simple children's Christian songs. So that image of me being a very young child just came into my head. And I just remember in those times, I can be quite anxious. And as a young person I was, and as an adult, but as a small child, I don't remember much feeling that anxiety. And I remember always feeling peaceful when I went to sleep. I never had trouble sleeping. But she, every night, my mum, up to about 8, 9, 10, did that with me. And it really helped. And she is the one who teaches the child to fold their hands in prayer, to seek God's blessings before a meal, to find comfort in God during times of distress. This early introduction to faith and spirituality plays a crucial role in shaping the child's spiritual life. Of course it does, like any learning a child is given. The church also acknowledges the power of a mother's prayer, because it's a power that comes from a heart filled with unconditional love and concern for a child. Okay. A mother's prayer is not just a plea to God for the well-being of the child, but it's also an act of surrender, a declaration of trust in God's plan. The church encourages mothers to pray for their children, to intercede for them, knowing that God listens to the prayers of a loving heart. And then, in addition, the church values the roles of mothers in instilling the moral values in their children. The teachings of the church and commandments of God, the stories of saints and martyrs, all these are often first narrated to the child by the mother. Again, sort of reading Bible stories with them. I know my kids had these lovely little books that really simplified things when they were small children, and we'd read them together at night as a bedtime story. And actually, sometimes as an adult, Neil and I would say, well, actually, we're getting a lot from this as well, because it just breaks it down. It's a little bit easier to understand than some of the heavier stuff in the Bible. So she explains the difference between right and wrong. She encourages the child to choose kindness over anger, forgiveness over revenge, and humility over pride. Doesn't always work, but she tries. And as I've put here as well, of course, dads are really hands-on these days and do this too, as do other relatives who care for the children in this now busy world where both parents need to work. But in biblical times, it was really seen as solely a mother's role, and this has passed through time. So we should be grateful to the mothers of that time. And as a mother myself, it's something I hope to continue into this generation. I try to instill it in my children. and my young people, I should say, who are navigating this fallen world and can fall prey to society's pressures and the pull of social media. You know, and as I'll say again, other mothers raise their children well, even if they have different beliefs. All mothers do their best. We're talking about, you know, Christian mothers in society specifically here. So Proverbs speaks of snares and pitfalls. Very dramatic, that. And today's world sadly does have these in abundance, as has come up today. But we can learn to look beyond this and to the cross and to God's grace. This moral education helps the child to grow into a person of good character, a person who reflects the love and the grace of God. Of course, like us all, they will make mistakes. They're human. But I just feel that they have that toolkit to be able to look to God for guidance, to seek ways in which they can be a little more like him, to ask him to fill them with peace and positivity they need. And I think that's amazing. I mean, my children are older now. They're on a journey now where they need to find their own way and their own paths. And I'm not going to push them in any direction because they're now their own people. They're growing up. They've got aspirations about things they might want to do when they leave school. All I can continue to do is pray and just hope that this little toolkit that they've had will help them a little bit along the way. The church recognises the mother as a model of faith. Her unwavering trust in God, her steadfast commitment to the teachings of the church, her selfless love and service, all these inspire the child to walk on the path of faith. The child learns to trust in God by seeing the mother's trust in God. The child learns to love the church by seeing the mother's love for the church. Because it mirrors, doesn't it? They learn what they see what they learn. In this way, the mother, through her own life, becomes this living testament to faith for the child. And yes, she'll do things wrong. Yes, she'll make mistakes. Children don't come with a manual. You know, I assumed when I was a child that my parents knew exactly what they were doing. But all parents are just muddling through and we do the best that we can. But, you know, the kids see and they do pick up things that you do. And that's not always a good thing. But in this sense, I think if you've got that faith, I think it's so amazing as a gift really for the kids. So in light of these aspects, it's clear that mothers play a significant role in shaping spiritual lives of their children. Not just mothers, but teachers of faith, intercessors, moral guides and models of faith. So the church, understanding this divine role of mothers, encourages and supports them in their mission. And they are blessed, these mothers, these biblical mothers and Christian mothers at this time are blessed because not all mothers have this. And, you know, I think it's wonderful. I look around when we have dinkies and just see all these wonderful mums with their kids. And I just think it's amazing that they're stepping into a church. And, you know, we endeavour to be able to sort of just... It's not heavy dinkies. They come, they have a lovely time, they have a snack, they have a play, they have friendships. But I just feel like, you know, just the fact that they're coming into this building, that they don't mind being in a place where it says Jesus Christ is Lord and they're happy to be there. And if we do sometimes sing a Christian song or occasionally do a prayer or do a story, they are quite happy with that. And, you know, we've got Easter coming up, so I'm sure we'll do something a little bit more along that vein for them then. And I just feel like, you know, not just the children are getting something from being there, but the mothers are as well. All fathers, we occasionally get dads and, of course, grandmothers. And I just feel like, you know, then they're getting more than just the friendship and the playtime. I just feel like being in a place and they want to come back. And yes, they may not come on a Sunday, but that's today's world, I guess. They do, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's amazing as well, because even if it's not, and it's the same, not just dinkies, all our groups. I mean, I have the same with neurodiversity natters as well, which isn't, again, it's not a specific Christian group, but it's certainly things going in that direction. And even if people aren't sure or have the confidence to pray themselves, the fact that they know Christian people around them that they can go to and say, you know, Jan, I've had a really troubled week. Would you pray for me? That's a blessing because they've got that network of people around them, even if they don't see them every day. But I've digressed, sorry. So it's a mission that is just not just about raising children, but about, I guess it's about raising disciples of Christ. That's how you could look at it. It's a mission that it's not just about giving life, but also giving eternal life. So the mother gives birth to this child and brings them into the world, which is just an incredible gift. And it's a miracle. It's still unbelievable when you think about that process. And that is just God's gift, how people come into the world. But then it can be a very difficult and fallen world. And I've heard parents say, I don't want to raise a child in this world. But actually, if you look beyond that and you're by introducing them to faith, you're giving them eternal life as well. You're giving them a future beyond a future. It's a mission that reflects the very mission of church, to bring souls closer to God. A parent, I'm saying parent now because I'm saying a lot about mothers, and I really should say parent/carer because, families are made up in all different ways, particularly in today's society. So a parent/carer will do anything for their child. They would die for their child, just as Jesus did for us. So again, there's another sort of parallel there. God created family and relationships so we can have a special bond with people on earth to prepare us for what's to come in eternity. Because we can't take anything with us, but we can take our character and we can take our relationships, that we can. And none of us know what heaven's like other than it's going to be amazing. Obviously, you have things that allude to what it might be like, but I like to strongly believe that my people that are in my life that are no longer here, we will see them there. I do really believe that. He wants us to grow with others and feel love. It is important to be respectful and gracious of those who we love and who love us. That can be tricky at times, because often the ones that we love most, our closest people, we can lash out to. The mask of who we are in society and who we want people to see can drop when you're at home, because you're in your safe space, and that's absolutely fine because you want to feel comfortable. And yeah, you can say sometimes the unkind things come out, or the anger or the stress, but actually, yeah, that happens and you're forgiven. But also be respectful and gracious and remember and think about what those around you do and how much they love you and how much they do for you and what you can do for them as well. I think just a general overall thing, treat people with kindness and care as God does to all his children. I mean, it's not a difficult ask, really, is it, to be kind? It doesn't cost anything. It could, just being kind to somebody, just anybody that you're passing, it can make somebody's day. You don't know what kind of a day someone's having. And, there have been times where I've been cross if I'm driving and I let somebody through and they don't say thank you, or and then it's like, well, hang on a second, actually, you don't know what kind of day they've had. You don't know what their life is like at the moment, so just don't judge people in that way. So now we are going to turn to Ephesians 6. So this is, I'm going to read it again. I know Tom's already read it, but just as a refresher, this is a really special passage to me, because it was something God came and spoke to me about and asked me to read not long before my own father died. I think it was in between the time, it was around the time that Neil lost his stepfather, and then my father died not long afterwards. And I don't know, I was feeling really just all over the place. And just Ephesians 6, it just came into my head clear as day. And Luke said a while back he had something similar. I can't remember what the Bible passage was for him, but he said God just gave me this passage, and I said, yeah, I've had that. And it was clear as day. So it's very special. And I think it's a little relevant to what we've sort of talked about today, and of course the day that it is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is his right. This is right, sorry. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly mothers with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God for your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. And then it goes on to talk about the armour of God. That's the title for the next bit. Again, very relevant today, a God suit. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with the kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Yeah, so that's quite a wonderful piece of scripture, which could take a lot of unpacking and reflection, really. But the last few lines, that's exactly what I was praying for today. Because when I stand up here, I'm like, I don't want to just stand up here and say what I think. What do I know? But, you know, having it coming from God, being led by what he wants us to say and what he wants to think. And I was just very much led to this, not specifically because of Mother's Day. Part of it was relevant to that. But I think this last bit, just with the world as it is, I just think we need to put on our armour, on our God suit. I mean, when the kids were little, we sang this song called God Suit, and there was actions that you're actually putting this armour on. And if that's what you need to do to help it feel more real, do it. But it is, because that God is our protection, and we can, you know, it's like, why are we not actually utilising that every day, putting that on before we step out of bed even? And that's why I try and have a prayer every morning. I try and make that the first thing I do when I open my eyes, because immediately that's starting the day, isn't it, right? And that is putting the God suit on, I guess. So put our God suit on and feel protected and ready for whatever the world may throw at us, because we are protected, we are safe. He's got us, that's the thing. Only he knows what's going to happen, but we have to trust that he's got us, he's got our best interests at heart. So let's embrace the amazing grace that we've sung about today twice, and favour. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you offer and all that we receive. Thank you for all the mothers out there. Thank you for all the parents, the children. Thank you for all the people. Thank you for everybody in this church. Not just today, but in the wider church, for those that cannot be with us today. So let's pray peace on those that are away on holiday, that they have a really nice, relaxed time and are safe on their travels. And pray for the people who are poorly, that your hand will be upon them and that you will heal them, Lord. Please be with those who no longer have parents or children or have lost somebody dear to them. We thank you that you can be there for us to strengthen us and fill any lonely voids we have where a special person may no longer be. Lord, we ask you to continually guide us and make our path straight. Lord, we ask that you show us how to be more like you, how to be more kind, considerate, caring, humble. How to display humility, to remember that actually, yes, of course, we're the leading person in our lives and we want to do the best we can in whatever we're doing, but actually it's not about us, it's about you. So please, Lord, help us make those paths straight so that we can take the journey that you want us to take, Lord. I want to pray for the youth. I thank you, Lord, that so many young people are finding faith, and let us help that to continue. I pray for all the young people that have got exams, challenging times coming up at school, that you will be with them and you will put peace on their hearts and show them the way to go. I want to give thanks as well for Helen. I'm not sure if she's here today, for all the wonderful things she's doing to try and evangelize a bit more and to get more people to know you, Lord. Thank you so much for this time today. Amen.